Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for giving today. God bless you. And once again, welcome. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I want to meet you. I'm usually always available after the service, either in the auditorium or out in the lobby. I'd love to say hello to you today, never in a hurry. I pray that you're meeting folks and connecting. I met Ray today. It was great to meet Ray. He's been coming about 3 months. I've seen him. I hadn't been fast enough to get to him, either in wheelchair or on cane, but I had the chance to meet him today. I love meeting and connecting with folks that are finding their way to the church, Covington. We get excited about not only numerical growth, but spiritual growth as all of us are just reaching for the things of God. And yes, all the people in this room, we may all be on different points, different mile markers on the spiritual journey. But you know what? We're on the journey. We're on the path. We're on our way. So wherever you are, whether you've been at this a long time or it's all brand new to you, just keep coming and let's grow together and see God do great, great things. And it's I celebrate with these families today that are dedicating their children back to the Lord. These are challenging times that we're living in, and I want to be grown and dedicated. I was dedicated as a child, but at some point that became my choice and my decision, and it was up to me whether or not I was going to be committed and dedicated to the things of God. And while the times are challenging, and we know that the times we're living in demand all the strength we can muster, it demands all of our strength and a whole lot of Jesus in our lives. But the times that we're living in, the times that we're just seeing unfold before our eyes, they have us asking those questions. Is this the end? Is this the end? Is Jesus about to return? And we've been in this series now for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to wrap it up today with this word. But what we're asking, is this the end? Is Jesus about to return? And I want to challenge you to live like yes is the answer. That these are the end times and Jesus is about to return. But the better question is, am I ready? Because many of the things that I've preached about the last couple of weeks and taught about, whether it is the war in the Middle East right now and all of the implications and what that means and where we see those things happening biblically, or Matthew 24 last Sunday about the signs of the end times. I have no control over any of those things. I have no say. I do believe as an intercessor, I do believe we can stay the hand of the Lord and the church can say, Lord, give us time to work, and he may respond to that. But I have no control over earthquakes. I have no control over wars and rumors of war. The only thing that I have a say in is me. Am I ready? Am I living the way the Lord wants me to live? Am I being obedient to the word of God? So let me read Matthew 25 today. We're going one chapter over from last Sunday to Matthew 25, and I'm going to read a few verses of scripture, this story in its entirety, and then we'll work our way through it in the time that we have remaining today. Matthew 25 and verse 1, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. Wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore," verse 13, "keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Just look at somebody and tell them, make sure you have extra for the end. That's what I want to teach today, preach today. I feel like preaching. I'm just on a stool and maybe up some on this cane. But I want to make sure I've got extra for the end. Last week, talking about the signs in Matthew 24, Jesus gave to us the majority of Matthew 24. The words are in red. Jesus is speaking. The disciples came and said, "What will be the sign of your coming? Go ahead and tell us when this is going to happen." And Jesus begins trying to help them understand. I'm not going to tell you that. No one knows that. You just need to live ready. He traded their when. Their when is this going to happen for a watch, and be ready and be prepared. But he gave very specific signs and referenced events that we would see in the end times. And then when we get to Matthew 25 today, we are seeing how people will react, how people will respond to the signs of the end time. He says, at that time, at that time, at the time of my returning, at the time of his coming, the kingdom will be like. So what will the posture of people be in the end times? How will people respond? Will they turn toward God? Will they move toward the things of God? Or will they remain complacent and just, you know, not even stirred or moved about the things happening around them? Of course, in Matthew 24 and verse 12, he said that there was an increase of wickedness, and the increase of wickedness, it caused the love of many to grow cold. The love of most will grow cold. I don't have percentages. I don't know if it's 8 out of 10. I don't know if it's 7 out of 10. I don't know if it's 6 out of 10. I just know in the last 2 or 3 years, I have been shocked. I've been shocked at people I thought would never walk away from the things of God. People who never would get out of sorts with the things of God, just become disillusioned, if you will. He said it's because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. What does that mean? What is cold? What is that? I believe it is cold toward one another. It is an offense. It is an anger. It is a frustration. It is an unwilling to converse and to walk with one another. Grow cold toward one another. And then I see people grow cold toward the church. I know church isn't perfect. I know this church is not perfect. I know this pastor is far, far, far from perfect. We do not always get it right, but I promise you the enemy is trying to turn the temperature down in your life where you just don't love it as much and you just don't care and you're just not as interested. And when you feel that coldness trying to come over you, it's a sure sign that the Lord is getting ready to do something, and you need to shake off the coldness and say, you know what, let me get where the fire is burning so that I can experience the heat of the Holy Ghost. Anybody want to be on fire for God? So people grow cold toward one another. They grow cold toward church. People get cold toward God. Things happen in life and we start blaming the Lord. We start faulting the Lord. Lord, if you hadn't done this, if you hadn't allowed that, if this wouldn't have happened, if that wouldn't have happened. And I know that the devil is so good at making us think it's all God's fault, but I promise you it's just the result of sin in the earth. God is still your answer. God is still your peace. He's still your help. Don't grow cold toward God. But that tells me that our response to the times we're living in is everything. Our response to what we see happening around us is everything. It's so important. And can I just say again this week that this is no time to be casual in our approach toward God. This is no time to be careless about the things of God. This is no time to say, you know what, let me see how close to the world I can live, or let me see what I can get away with. Let me see what fine line I can walk. No, this is time to be on the Lord's side, to be counted among the faithful. That doesn't mean all struggles are going to end. That doesn't mean temptation is going to go away. That doesn't mean that the hardness of life is suddenly going to get easy. It just means you've made up in your mind that no matter what comes my way in life and no matter what happens to people or things around me, I have decided to follow Jesus, and follow Jesus is what I'm going to do until he comes to get me. I know the times are tough, but we have not been left without help. We have not been left without comfort. The Holy Spirit is our strength. The Holy Spirit is our comfort. The Holy Spirit is our direction. He said, at that time, the last days, the end times, at that time, the kingdom will be like. At that time, the kingdom will be like 10 virgins. 10 virgins. Virgins implies innocence. It implies youth. It implies distracted, easily distracted. Attention, wandering and running from thing to thing, idea to idea. Of course, Jesus is telling a story to tell another story. It is a parable that Jesus is telling. And he's telling us about 10 virgins who are awaiting a husband. Awaiting what the Bible refers to and Jesus called a bridegroom. A bridegroom is simply the groom of the bride. It's the man in the equation of wedding and male and female coming together. 10 virgins are awaiting their husband or their bridegroom. At that time, at the time we're living in right now, you and I are awaiting. You and I are waiting for the return of Jesus, because the Bible teaches us that the church, his church, has always been the bride of Christ. The church, we are his bride. He's coming for a bride. He's on his way to get his bride. I don't know if you remember Ephesians 5, but it said, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. He said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. He said in verse 27 that he might present to her to himself, present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I'm coming for a bride. Is anyone waiting for his return? Is anyone anticipating, and like the old lady at the bus stop, just watching down the road of the coming traffic, I see this idea and that thought and that belief, but I'm waiting for the Lord to come down this road and pick me up. I'm waiting. I may not know what time he's arriving, but I'm waiting. I know the enemy came with temptation, but I told the enemy, I'm waiting. I'm already spoken for. I'm waiting for the return of Jesus. You know what? Everybody in your zip code, everybody in the rows around you ought to know. You know what? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the return of the Lord. This is not wasted time. This is time well spent. This is time invested well. There's going to be a return on this investment, a return on your serve, a return on your faithfulness. God is not going to leave you without, but he is going to bless your life. I'm waiting on the Lord. But he teaches us that there were five wise and there were five foolish, half and half, 50%. I've been at this long enough that it always seems like there's as many going as there are coming. That while people are discovering and committing and giving their hearts to Jesus, there's others that are saying, done with that, sick of it, walking away, offended, angry, upset, making a change. Five wise and five foolish. I wish everyone would get on fire. That's my prayer. That's my heart. It's my prayer every day, praying over you, Lord, set them on fire. Lord, bless their life. Lord, light them up. I pray it's not just a Sunday experience, but they experience on Monday, and they experience it on Tuesday, and every single day of the week that they're walking this, and they're living this, and they're feeling this, and something is happening in their life. I wish everyone wanted it. The Bible also tells us that hell hath enlarged itself because some will refuse mercy. Some will just not get interested. Some will just think they know better. I don't know about you, but I can't be some. You can't be some. Your kids can't be some. At that time, at the time of my coming, at that time, this is what it's going to look like. Earthquakes, wars, but people, they're either going to be wise or they're going to be foolish. There's commonalities, though. All 10 of them were looking for the same thing. All of them were looking for the bridegroom. They were looking for him. Each were waiting, but they were waiting differently. Each were waiting, but it's how they were waiting. I think that's a good question for you and I to ask, maybe to write in your notes for devotion time this week. How am I waiting? What is my attitude during the waiting season? What is my patience level during the waiting season? How am I reacting to things that are coming my way? How am I responding to things that are happening around me? When they cut me off in traffic, how am I responding? When the job doesn't go my way, how am I responding? When I get news, how am I responding? How am I waiting? Am I foolish or am I wise? Each of them, all 10 of them, had a lamp. All 10 had the same ability and the same opportunity to see. See, the enemy wants to convince us that we are somehow at a disadvantage. Not you, me. I'm at a disadvantage. God does not like me. The reason stuff is happening to me is because God is angry with me. You're blessed and I'm bound up because we believe the lie of the enemy. God is always picking on me. Ray Stevens, that great theologian that talked about the squirrel getting loose in that church, he said, "None are so blind as those who refuse to see." Meaning, I've got an opportunity to see. I've got a lamp. I've got the word. I've got truth in front of me, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not shining my light in the right places. I'm not illuminating the right things in my life, and so I'm just not seeing what I need to see. So what is the difference among the five wise and the five foolish? It's just that. It's wisdom and foolishness. It's making the right choices at the right time. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if I can counsel you real quick, if I can give you any advice real quick, so much of the success of your life, so much of the success of your spirituality is going to come down to the choices you make. It's not going to be what others do to you. It's not going to be what others say to you. It's not going to be the things that happen to you at the hands of others. I'm not saying that doesn't play a part. I'm not saying that that is not a factor in our life. But it is going to be the choices that I make that determine whether I respond with wisdom or with foolishness. Because it's a truth. Refusing to accept truth doesn't make truth go away. Refusing to accept truth doesn't make truth go away. The sick will avoid going to the doctor because they don't want to know what's wrong. That's foolishness. The convicted will avoid the presence of God because they don't want to face. They don't want to face themselves or their choices. That's foolishness. All ten were going out and living life. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus' parable says. All of them were going out into the streets because we're called to occupy until he comes. There is no option for you to stay in the church all night tonight. There's no option for you to just live here. You've got to go back home. Got to go to work tomorrow. Kids don't have to go to school tomorrow. Drive your parents crazy this week. Just want to go everywhere and want to do everything. Have a blast. I was cleaning up. Man, I'm going to tell you, when my wife or son cook, they use every utensil, every plate, every spoon, every fork, all every bit of it. And I was getting ready to leave and had a full day, and I thought, I'm going to wash these dishes. And I was a little frustrated. In fact, I took a picture. I was about to send it to the family thread. Oh, yeah, devil right here on this shoulder just saying, send it. And I stopped and thought, this is a privilege. My kid's going to be grown and gone one day, and I'm going to wish I had a dirty plate to scrub. That's shoulder one. They were going out to live life.
They had to go out into the highways and the because there is no spiritual bubble. There is no spiritual bubble I can move into that insulates me or protects me from life. There is nothing I can do to just surround myself that I never feel any temptation or struggle or issue in life. No, there are only highways and byways and ditches and ruts. And wise or foolish will be determined by how I run the race. But I'm here to remind someone that the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to him who endures to the end. If I can finish it, if I can finish it, if I can somehow finish the race, if I can get to the end. The wise took oil with them. The foolish assumed they would have more time to get more. The wise are saying, you know what, it could be today. The foolish are saying, I feel like gambling. I feel like taking a chance. I feel like seeing if I can get away with one more day. Try it one more time. Roll dice one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to live foolish. I want to live wise. And the Bible says in verse 5 that the bridegroom was a long time in coming. I told you last week, I've been hearing this my whole life. I'm 51 years old as of a few weeks ago. I've been hearing this a long time. Jesus is coming back. You got to get ready. You've got to live ready. You've got to live as though today is the day. I've heard it a long, long time. They had been hearing he was on the way in this parable for a long time, and the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Everyone became sleepy. Everybody, wise and foolish, everybody gets tired. Everybody gets sleepy. All eyes were heavy. Sleepy isn't wise or foolish. Sleepy is life. Sleepy is surviving the struggle. Sleepy is the way to the world. Sleepy is when I would do good, evil is present. Sleepy is no respecter of persons. The difference is the wise understood, no matter what I'm doing in life, I'm always using oil. And they recognized there was going to be a need to replenish and to refill and to get more, because life causes us to leak. We come on Sunday and, oh, church was so good. I was ready for that. I needed that. Thank you, Lord, for all that you did. And then we wake up Monday morning and we start getting emails. We get to work, and they start giving instructions. We get to school, and we see that red, ugly, crooked letter circled at the top of the test page, and life, we start leaking our oil. We start leaking. We just start using it up and spending it. The wise know that they're spending oil and they're going to need to refill. The foolish live on empty and they risk running out, because all of us are leaking oil. I've got two vehicles in my family right now. One of them is leaking oil. Had it repaired and fixed, and mechanics said, it's good, it's great, it's perfect. We take up the cardboard in the garage and look down, and it's leaking. It's just a small bit. It's not a lot. I got another car off to college that's using oil. There's no drops underneath it. It's just using it. And I'm trying to teach my college kid, hey, in the trunk of the car, I've got some extra oil. And I'm always asking. I'm so glad to have Elle home this weekend.
hadn't preached about you in so long. I get to pick on you today. This is fantastic. But I'm always, hey, check the oil. Check, push that button and see where the oil is in your car. I got to know, because I can't have you out here on one of these streets somewhere, broke down with the engine seized up because there's not enough oil in the car. But as it goes for vehicles, so it goes for life. Hey, how you doing? Have you checked your level lately? Have you checked the oil in your spirit lately? Are you full? Are you full of God? Are you full of His Spirit? Are you walking in the presence of the Lord? Hey, man, I see you sputtering. I see it was hard to get started last Sunday. Where are you? How's it going? Have you checked the levels in your life lately? I know you've been through some things. I know you've been walking some long road. I know you've been on some rough terrain lately. Can we get in and get you filled up? Can we get you checked out so that you are living life full, not living life full, living life full, F-U-L-L. I need you to live life full of the oil of His Spirit. Because wise or foolish is going to be determined by who has extra for the end. Who's prepared. Wise or foolish is going to be decided by those who know the enemy is out to get them. Wise or foolish is going to be decided by those who understand that their kids are a target, their marriage is a target, their home is a target. And we've got to stay full. We've got to have extra. We've got to be prepared. I have to take extra for the journey. I've got to have extra in my car. I've got to have extra in my office. I've got to have extra in my backpack. I've got to have extra at the house. Sunday may be too far away. It may be too many days from now. So I got to make sure that I've got extra. I need extra for the end. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, who this word is finding agreement with, but I pray that you get extra, that you get full today and you get everything that God has for you in this service. But you take some jars with you and you fill your pockets and you fill your ears and you spend some time this week not just listening to what the world has to say, not just listening to what the news report is, but listening to some praise and some worship, going back and getting in this service again and just flowing and falling and reaching and desiring, because I've got to have extra for the end. Because I'm convinced that wise or foolish is determined by the company that we keep. The wise were reminding one another. I'm closing. The wise were reminding one another, hey, you got oil, right? You good? You're full. You got extra? Did you bring that jar? Have you prayed about that? Have you talked to the Lord about that? Come on, worship with me. Don't just sit back there. Come on, let's go to the front. Let's worship. Let's get in the presence of the Lord. Let's reach for the things of God. That's what the wise do for one another. They strengthen one another. They rejoice with those who rejoice. They weep with those who weep. We're walking together. But the foolish have a way of pulling each other down. You know it don't take all that, right? You know that's just a bunch of emotionalism, right? Apparently I'm emotional. You know all of that, you know, that church stuff. I'm spiritual, but I'm not church. That's what folk like to say. I like Jesus, I just don't like the church. Again, the church is not perfect. But I sure love what happens to me every time I come to church. These phones, I don't know if you notice it, but You can be downloading the Kroger app because you want to find out when turkeys are on sale. Bought one the other day for 59 cents a pound. We were excited till they said, well, you got to spend $35 on something else. PK was trying to read the receipt to me and tried to explain it to me because somehow we didn't spend just $35 to get the turkey. We spent $70-something. We're going to double that. It didn't make us just stop reading. It doesn't make no sense to me. We lost. That's all I know. We lost. But you can be downloading the Kroger app, and it's going to ask you for permission to access your microphone. Kroger don't need my microphone. Kroger don't need to hear what I'm talking about. But there's something called social algorithms. They tell us it's not true, but it's true. Because you'll be talking about something with your friend and open up your phone and there's an ad for it. Has it happened to you? They tell us that's not true, that they're not listening. They have, but ladies and gentlemen, they're listening. So social algorithms say, well, we saw you search the Kardashians on Instagram, so we're going to feed you more of the Kardashians. We saw you search that foolishness, so we're going to feed you more foolishness. Because I'm determined wise or foolish is determined by the company we keep. And if you're the smartest person in your group, you're in the wrong group. I know that's blunt. Lord, have mercy. Shame on the pastor. I don't want to be around people that just further fuel my tendency toward negativity. I don't want to just follow people who just attaboy my bad attitude. The reason there were five wise is because there were five people encouraging one another. And the reason there were five foolish is because there were five fools that were just egging one another on. We're talking about the signs of the end times. I don't know if you've watched the news this week. But somebody shared Osama bin Laden's letter to America. You know who Osama bin Laden is, right? Mastermind behind 9/11. 3,000 people died. Multiple planes used as weapons, bombs. And someone shared his letter to America, which is his reason for doing what I did. The reason I came after America is thus and such, full of just trash. But it goes viral on TikTok. And now young people by the millions are sharing it, saying, man, I had no idea. That guy is a hero. I never thought I would see the day. I never thought I would see the day. But that's what happens. The enemy's algorithm keeps feeding you more of the same. And at some point, you got to break the cycle in your life to say, no. I've spent too many days among fools. I've spent too many days living foolish. I've spent too many days in chaos and mess and junk. I am going over to the Lord's side. I
going to make sure I've got extra for the end. I've got to make sure that I am full right now and that I stay full. I'm here next Sunday. I'm here the Sunday after that. I can't wait for the start of the new year and sacred season and spending time and fasting and prayer. I am going after the things of God. Because the truth is, the foolish waited too late. They were running, looking, searching. And ladies and gentlemen, I know. Somebody gonna say, man, the Lord is so mean. And where is the mercy and where is the grace? Because our flesh wants to convince us we will always have another chance and that we always have more time. It's in every area of our lives. I can wait, I don't have to save for retirement this week, I'll wait till next week. Man, you're 58 years old. You're behind. But I got to be honest with you today. There really is a too late. And I don't want to be caught in too late. The five wise came into that banquet room with the bridegroom. And later, verse 11, the others also came. Lord, Lord, hey, Lord. Open the door for, hey, why is this door closed? Open the door. But he replied, God have mercy. Jesus replied, not a preacher. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. I don't know you. So keep watch. Stay ready because you do not know the day or the hour. Watch it. Where are you, sir? Where are you, ma'am? What of your life? What of your soul? What of your heart? If you're our guest today, come next Sunday. Not always heavy like this, but it's no accident that you're in the room today. It's no accident that you're here today. Because God needed to reach for you and draw you and pull you and remind you, hey, come on, live wise. Live wise. Because the things that I said would happen in Matthew 24, they are happening. And my coming is close. Father, I pray today for hearts. And for lives and minds in this room. Pray today, Lord, that Spirit would help every single one of us. The enemy would love for us to just walk out of this building today and not make a decision, not make a choice, just take the gamble that the oil I have will be enough. No, today you're saying there's extra. I want to give you extra. I want to fill you full. I want to fill you full of my spirit and my truth and my presence so that your life is never the same again. I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you're seated.
if there's something in you today that wants to be saved, I'm not suggesting you're not saved. You just want to be saved. Would you stand on your feet today? I just want to be saved. I want to be saved. I'm making my decision. I'm making my choice. I'm ready. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Today is my day. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you. I see you standing. I really believe everybody wants to stand. I may not be clear today in how I'm communicating. I want to be saved. Pastor, I feel like I am saved. Then get on your feet. I want to be saved. Make sure I got extra. Extra. Jesus. I want to pray with you, and then our team is going to lead us in worship for a moment. But if today you feel God dealing with your heart and you feel God speaking to you, and you know this word is for me today, I want you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, I'm not missing this moment. I'm not walking out the same. Today I make a choice. Today, I decide. Today, I say yes to you. Forgive me. Change my life. I repent of my sin. I renounce the world. And I choose you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give the Lord praise today?
Still believe.
Thank you, Jesus.
I still
thank you, Jesus.
Believe.